We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 17, text number 143. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. Ateva Krishna Nama e Setara Muke.
Ateva Krishna Nama e Setara Muke.
Mayavadi Ganayate
Mahabahir
Muke.
Mayavadi Ganayate Mahabahir Muke.
Translation of our book by Divine Grace is in Bhakti Vinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because the Mayavadis are great offenders and atheistic philosophers, the holy name of Krishna does not come from their mouths. Please repeat. Because the Mayavadis are great offenders.
Because the Mayavadis are great offenders.
And atheistic philosophers.
And atheistic philosophers.
The holy name of Krishna.
The holy name of Krishna.
Does not come from their mouths.
Does not come from their mouths.
Because they are constantly blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead by saying that He has no head, hands or legs. Mayavadi philosophers remain offenders for many, many births, even though they have partially realized Brahman. However, if such impersonalists are not offenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, they immediately become devotees in the association of the devotee. In other words, if an impersonalist is not an offender, he can become a devotee if he gets a chance to associate with other devotees. If he is an offender, he cannot be converted even by the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much afraid of this Mayavadi offender. Therefore, he spoke as follows. And let's go then to the next verses. So here this verse is speaking about Mayavadis, impersonalist, and of course, impersonalist is the opposite of personalist. So, just as black is the opposite of white, and darkness is the opposite of light. So, especially for Vaishnavas, who are belonging to a very personal philosophy and who see the Lord very much as a person, and He is the center of all our activities, all our thoughts. So for the Vaishnavas, Lord Krishna is the center of their meditation. And also for the pure devotees. So, therefore, we see that Sri Prabhupada, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, they make a big point about these impersonalistic tendencies, which are, in the first place, present in the minds of the Mayavadis impersonalists, but they are also unfortunately present in our upbringing, in our own understanding. We also are faced with that, because although we are directly saying and understanding and try to realize that Krishna is a person and that Vaishnavism is a very personal movement, still impersonal attitudes in our heart do not allow us to fully realize that, and they are like obstacles on the path. And Sri Prabhupada pointed that out also to some devotees, that it's when he was speaking about impersonalism, it was not only to some far away people, but it was also in relation to devotees themselves, to try to cut out the impersonal tendencies in the heart. So impersonalism is, Prabhupada describes it as for impersonalists, when a green bird flies into a green tree, then it's difficult to see. Like in India, you have these beautiful green parrots in Vrindavan, and then when they go in the tree, they disappear because the tree is also green. So you cannot really distinguish anymore between the bird and the tree. But he says it doesn't mean that now that bird became non-existing. The bird is still as much that particular green bird than before he flew or he sat down in the tree. So, and the Mayavadi impersonalism, they want to compare it like that. They want to see it like that. They want to see Krishna's energy, but they want to forget about him. So they accept that Krishna has energies all over the place, and that there is a relationship, that there is some creator behind, that there is something behind, but they don't want to see anymore the Lord himself, who is the origin of everything, and who is the most beautiful, the most attractive, the most who has all the qualities to in their perfectionate form, all the qualities which we may have a glimpse of it. Then the Lord, he has them in their full extension. So, but they want to, some or other, they don't want to see Krishna himself anymore. They only want to accept that his energy is there. Another example Sri Prabhupada gave, a plane goes up, and it's very similar to the bird. A plane goes up in the sky, and then after a few minutes, it disappears from the eyesight, because it goes into the clouds, and because the distance becomes too far, so with our material eyes, we cannot capture it anymore. Same thing, it's not that the plane is not there anymore, the plane is still moving to some destination, but it disappears from our eyesight. But it doesn't mean that the plane is, at that point, becomes non-existing. So these are nice examples Sri Prabhupada is giving, and who make us understand. He's also, in that regard, at some point he's referring to Buddhism also. And he is pointing out that why the Western society and why the people in general on this earth, not just the Western society, even in India, why are they so, although Buddhism particularly is becoming very popular, when you see in France and other countries, in the the West, but also in India, because it's based on an impersonal philosophy. And Sri Prabhupada points out that why is it so popular? Because once you only basically respect the creation of the Lord or the what is manifested around you, then you can keep your sense gratification. It's a good basis for sense gratification, because if there is no real personality to whom we have to obey, to whom we are, who is above us, who has a relationship with us in a very personal way, and who wants us to live in a certain way. If we can all put that all aside, then we can basically, be in our own lifestyle, and we can, we can basically, people want to enjoy the material energy, the people want to have their sense gratification. And this impersonal philosophy, that gives them much more that space for their personal sense gratification than what the Vaishnava philosophy is about. Because Vaishnava philosophy makes it very clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our relationship with Him and what is good for us and what is not good for us, it makes it very clear in a very personal way. So, but the impersonal philosophy, as soon as you take away the Lord out of the picture, then there is much more space, for much more room for sense gratification and for creating one's own greatness. One doesn't have to be submissive towards a higher personality, and that brings the condition so very much more in the center, which he likes, which he is attracted to, and which makes him then eligible to do what he wants and to create his own kingdom, his own illusory kingdom. There was one pastime with Ramanujacharya, where as a student he was attracted to study more. He was very intelligent boy, so then he wanted to study more, and there was one particular well-known teacher his name was Yadava Prakash, who was in that area of India, South India. He was very renowned as first class Brahmana and teacher. But coming from the teachings of Shankaracharya, by which with some impersonal basis, so then this Yadava Prakash, he remarked Ramanuja as a very good student, and then at that time, in that particular setting, He was favored by Yadava Prakash and to do a personal seva for him. So, but then in one of the teachings, there was a text which was translated where the eyes of the lotus eyes of the Lord were compared to the in India the monkeys, they have this where they sit, their backside is like reddish. So in that in these teachings, this Yadava Prakash compared the eyes of the Lord with the reddish backside of the monkey. So Ramanuja Acharya, as a young student, young boy, he had a very hard time with that. And so at that time when he was massaging his teacher as his personal servant, he had hot tears coming from his eyes because he was upset, and he was overwhelmed by these feelings of how is that possible that that Krishna's eyes are described and compared with the backside of a monkey. And then, so then his teachers felt these hot tears on his back, and he was asking, what type of emotions are you going through? So then Ramanuja, he said, well, I'm upset because of hearing this, these words, what you spoke in your last class. And he said, well, these are the teacher said, well, this is the, it comes from the teachings of Shankaracharya. What do you mean? Do you have another meaning? And then Ramanujacharya says, yes. And then he explained that because the word was, what is the word? It was a text of Shandogya. And then he was explaining that kam means water, kam kapi, I think is the word, and that what drinks water is kapi. Kapi is thus no other than the stem of the lotus. That which is placed on the stem is kapyasam. In other words, the two eyes of that supreme person are tinged with red, like the undimmed luster of the unplucked lotus on its stem, shining in the bosom of the blue waters. So, Ramanuja gave a beautiful description, and then Yadava Prakash was filled with the greatest astonishment on hearing this explanation of the scriptural text. He felt most keenly the disgrace of his defeat at the hands of his own disciple. Maddened with anger, he plotted to do away with Ramanuja in secret. So then he made a plot to with some other students or people involved to kill Ramanuja. But then, of course, Ramanuja, he escaped, and then so this is how, this is an example of how painful it is for devotees to hear the Lord disgraced, or to hear things which are not true, or which take away from the personal aspect of Krishna. There is another example with Anandacharya. Shishirada Gopinath. Anandacharya is a pure devotee of the Lord. And he was translating on the text of 9.22 of Bhagavad Gita. It says that Ananyas Chintaya Domam Ye Jana Paryubhasate Desham Nitya Puyuktanam Yoga Kshema Vahamiyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So he was writing Vaishnava texts and Anandacharya, and he came to the word Vahami Aham, which literally means that the Lord carries what the devotee lacks. He personally, you know, interferes, brings what the devotee needs. So, but this devotee, Anandacharya, was thinking, well, this is just too much. I mean, Krishna is not coming personally. He is sending his representatives. He's not going to come personally. So then he scratched that word and he gave a little different meaning. Not that he came himself, but that he, through his energy, through his will, that some arrangement would be made, that some of his devotees would bring what the devotee lacks at that moment. So then Anandacharya, he was working, and then he was going to take his noon bath. And so he went away to the Ganga to take his bath. And then when he was gone and his wife was at home, then two beautiful young boys, they came. Very brilliant, very small, little, most beautiful boys came. And then they say, we are bringing you food. So they began with an old basket with fruits and nice vegetables and everything. Perfect. So Anandacharya's wife was surprised and said, okay, you're such beautiful young boys. What can I do for you? Please sit down and I want to offer you some lunch. And they said no, because Anandacharya, he if he sees us, he will beat us. And look, I have a mark from him on my back. And then somehow or other she convinced that they still should eat something, and then before they go. So then they went, they left their carriage there, and they went. And then Anandacharya came back, and his wife said, these two beautiful boys came, but they say that you have beaten them. I never beat anybody in my life, so what do you mean? So then, but then he understood that the scratching of this word, Vahami Aham, meant it was like beating the Lord, in the sense that it took away some of the Lord's personal aspect. So in other words, the Lord wanted to teach him, yes, I am coming personally when the need is there to, and personally interfering when the need is there in those who are dear to me. So that is what the Lord was teaching, and he wanted to make him understand the scratching of this word Vahami Aham was like a mark on his back, and the Lord didn't accept that. He didn't want that personal aspect of him to be taken away, because it's an aspect which is very dear to the Lord. So that's how dear the Lord is to his pure devotees, to those who give all their energy to him, all their words, all their deeds, all their thoughts to him. To those the Lord makes sure that these dear devotees of him don't lack anything, and if needed he will personally interfere. So we can see this how opposing impersonalism and personalism is. Every day we take darshan of the Lord. Every day we come and see Shri Radha Gopinath, because he is a person. And every day, you know, he is dressed by the pujaris. And there are always some details. Mataji's, they like to discuss about these things, about this. And it's very nice, because he is the Lord, and we also like to have our dress proper, etc. So if we speak about the Lord's dress, and the jewelry, this is very much part of our life, because he is our object of devotion, our object of love, and to express that and to serve him in that such a personal way that is enhancing our devotion. So I will stop here, and maybe any discussion, comments, questions.
Thank you very much for the address. Sometimes I listen to the devotees saying that in the spiritual world, everything is personal. The flowers, the stones, sometimes it's said when Krishna plays the flute, the stones start to melt and the trees start to move, and even the water of the Yamuna start to go power, like something like personality. But here in the material world, we see that the stones are not moving, they look like no personality, the flowers don't move. So how can I understand this, that in the spiritual world everything is a person? And in this material world, like, is different.
Because there are some places, even in the material world, in the holy places, where stones have melted under the lotus feet of the Lord. So there are some exceptions due to the intervenience of the Lord Himself. So, Krishna wants us to develop our Krishna consciousness and come to the right understanding, and He wants us to develop faith, not shallow faith, but deep faith. And then that's why, even Shankaracharya, he came at that time to confuse the people, basically, and to make a discrimination between those who are real devotees and those who are shallow in their understanding. And that's why they became deluded. So that's our, that's our life task, is to understand the truth and to develop our relation with Krishna and to have faith in Him. And once we have faith, then we know for sure. Of course, faith comes not just, it's not only a sentiment, it's our intelligence has to be deeply baked in the scriptures. And then through service, through studying, through the chanting of the holy name, then our faith will grow and grow and become stronger and have deeper roots, so that we can understand that Krishna is really there. We have to deserve Krishna before Krishna necessarily shows Him to us. That's the test we have to pass. But at the same time, it is natural, because even here it says that if somebody is an offender, he cannot be converted even by the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if people are consciously offensive and consciously deny the personal aspect of the Lord in an active way by promoting such philosophy, such misunderstanding, by promoting it to others, then obviously, it will take very long. And even the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not going to change them. Says here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much afraid of such Mayavadi offenders. That's to show as the example, because our problem is that we are not afraid. And at the same time, we get infused with misconceptions, which then harm our faith. While our faith is not yet strong, we allow misconceptions to come in, which then destroy or partially destroy our faith. So yes, the spiritual world is, yes, every living entity is a person there, and it takes deep faith to understand that. Come to that realization, so that we are not shaken if somebody says something different at one point. That's the bottom line.
Are you saying that in the material world, bodies that becomes a major factor? So the soul inhabits the body, but the soul, in the spiritual world, we are our world. So that in the spiritual world, the manifestation of the soul is the body, so the stuff and the power. They are a person. They're not, the soul isn't inhabiting a lot of life before. They are a lot. And they could even change their form. If somebody wants to say Christian flat, they could be a cloud. And then they can turn into a people cook, and then they can be a cowboy. You don't have to stay in a different form. Usually they do, but if you want, you can't change because you're not your body. But here, when the soul leaves the body, you still, like Robert said, the body's there right in the center, but we're not our body. The soul goes somewhere else, and the body takes. We have the body somewhere else.
Many disciples of Sri Prabhupada, they noticed when they were with Sri Prabhupada and they spoke with him, how much full attention he gave to them. They were surprised because he was so busy and with so many worldwide projects, etc., etc. Still, when they were with him, he was fully there. That's personalism. If your mind is in 10 places when you speak with another person, that's... make a account of your day to anybody. So that is the impersonal approach, is a door which it's opening towards sense gratification. And that's my understanding of what Prabhupada says in relation to Buddhism, that, you know, that's why Buddhism is so successful, because it's so easy.
I wanted to say that the real meaning of material world is not sense gratification, but independence, because in Vedas is stated that a god is enjoyer, but Jiva also is enjoyer, but she is not independent enjoyer. And so material sense gratification is very miserable and compared to sense gratification in prema bhakti, in spiritual world. So, and I know on my experience that I don't want to serve Krishna, not because this is painful, but because I'm afraid of losing my independence.
Yeah. So you are making the point of our constitutional position is to be a servant of the Lord. So if we serve the Lord, we are happy. If we don't serve the Lord, we are unhappy. That's basically what you are saying, what I understand from what you said.
If you are independent from the Lord, you will go to hell. There is no sense gratification.
Yeah, because it is the constitutional position of living entity is to be the servant of the Lord. So that is what we are. That is, you know, you cannot change that. So whatever you do in line with that will make you happy. Whatever you do opposing to that means independent, living in an independent way is opposed to being an eternal servant of the Lord. So we as living entities can only be happy if we serve the Lord, because it's our constitutional position. Then it flows, like the river flows its way to the lower part, natural. That is natural for the living entity to serve the Lord. It may not be natural for our mind, though. Even not for our contaminated intelligence. They think different because of conditioned lifetimes. But, and that's what we have to correct. So although it's natural, we have to go, it feels like opposing. It feels like natural to do sense gratification for us. Because our mind and our intelligence have deeply merged in sense gratification over now many lifetimes. So for our mind and our intelligence, it seems unnatural. But the reality is that the living entity is an eternal servant of the Lord. So we are in conclusion, we are only going to be happy if we correct this misconception we have in our heart. Then things will flow again. Then we will go back to our
real. I just wanted to say about the connection to the previous question. The nature of the soul is to be happy. There's no way that makes me happy. We're always looking for happiness. But if we do it, and the only way we can be happy is by serving Krishna. So that if we don't do it, if we ignore actually the person asking the question, we don't serve him. But the tendency to enjoy is there, is very strong in there. So we have to apply to sanctification because we have to get it from somewhere. So that's why people don't serve Krishna, they are after sanctification because they're trying to fill up this value. So that's kind of automatic. You know, if there's no Krishna in his mind, there's just cannot be other way. This is the nature of the soul. Enjoy.
Thank you for your comment. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai.